This is Ram Showcase with your host, Sheriff Joe Bags.
Yes, welcome to it. Episode 2, Ram Showcase Season 9. Lots to get into tonight. We have some new guys with new numbers. Let's take a peek at the legacy of some of those previous numbers. Who's worn them before? Also, it is draft week. Take a peek at last year's picks. We also dive into, of course, this year's upcoming picks for the Los Angeles Rams. Before we dive in, ramshowcase.com, that is where you're going to snag your merch, Ram Showcase shirts. Also have a few other additions that we'll be adding in. Not sure if they'll be directly added to ramshowcase.com, but we do have some other things on the way. Stay tuned on the Ram Showcase socials for more info on that, which is at Ram Showcase just about everywhere. Facebook.com/Ram Showcase, of course. You can also follow myself at Sheriff Joe Bags just about everywhere. So let's go ahead, not waste any time here. Let's go ahead and get into the business. So first things first, we got to talk about the most unfortunate news of recent news as far as the Rams go, which is Rams quarterback Roman Gabriel has died at the age of 83. An absolute Rams legend, the 1969 NFL MVP, is still third all-time in Rams passing yards, only behind Mark Bulger and Jim Everett. He is also still the leader in touchdowns all-time for the Rams at 154. And for reference, Stafford only at 75 right now. Stafford wants to hang out for a while. Maybe he could be beating this record. But we don't know how many years we're going to get out of Stafford. So Roman Gabriel sitting with the 154 right now. That is number one. And that is, of course, what matters. Roman Gabriel, he is tied with Billy Wade in for the fourth longest touchdown pass in Rams history, and that was, in for a while, that was the most recent really long touchdown pass for the Rams since it was beat by 1 yard Jared Goff to Robert Woods, Bobby Trees. That was against Houston a few years back. And if you remember, Rob Havenstein did hold the crap out of J.J. Watt on that play, but it wasn't called, and that's the important part of that information. Also, just wanted to talk briefly about the locked in with Matthew Stafford. It was absolutely unbelievable. It was everything that I wanted it to be, honestly. It was just such a good deep dive into Matthew Stafford, which I thought was really, really cool to see. But it was a good look into really how tough this guy is as well. I mean, he was dealing with quite a lot of stuff, and I had no idea that he had thought that thumb injury was going to be the end of his season, which would have been absolutely devastating, obviously, because we know how it all kind of unfolded after the Green Bay game post bye. The Rams were just a different football team after that. And Matthew Stafford being there, obviously, such an important piece of the Rams' offense as we were going down the stretch. Obviously, your quarterback is super important. And I think ultimately we don't understand. We don't follow. I guess maybe all Rams fans are not in the grouping of, I don't think we realize how good Matthew Stafford is. I think it's going to take for him to leave for us to realize how actually incredible that Matthew Stafford is, because let's not talk down any guys that we've had, because going from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford is a little bit spoiled. It's not Green Bay Packers level spoiled at the quarterback position, but that is spoiled. We had one quarterback that took us to a Super Bowl, and the team felt like they could improve at that spot, so we did. We got a little bit better there with Matthew Stafford, and I will say that Matthew Stafford is a better quarterback than Jared Goff. That's not a shot at Jared Goff. That's just pro Matthew Stafford. Okay. A does not necessarily equal B. I can say that B can be, you know, in there as well. Like, Jared Goff is a good quarterback, but we did get better with Matthew Stafford. But I think that the dive into Stafford in this particular video that was put out onto it was NFL Network and stuff like that. So show, I guess, is the right terminology there. But it was such an awesome look at how tough this guy is. I think that was my main takeaway. And I don't know if it's right or wrong, is one of my other takeaways is that it was such a massive letdown to lose in Detroit in the playoffs. That was, you know, his first time back playing in Detroit since the trade. And on top of that, it was also the Lions, you know, first home playoff game in forever. And then, of course, we later found out that that was also Aaron Donald's final game. So I think that's just really unfortunate. But also, I mean, I try to take the approach of looking at it from both sides. And if we do that and you take a peek from the Lions' perspective, it is, you know, obviously such a dub for them as a city, as an emotional fan base kind of thing, to win that game, because you put yourself into those shoes, right? So, like, say that the Rams had not had a home playoff game in however long, and then just let's just keep the teams and all that stuff the same and the trade the same, but let's just put the Rams in that situation, having not won had a home playoff game in that long. And let's say that Jared Goff is showing up back to town, and you know, the Rams, you know, he did what he could for the team and he was awesome for us and all that stuff. But ultimately you kind of break that barrier, get that monkey off your back against your former quarterback. And I guess the comparison would never be totally accurate considering what Matthew Stafford was to the Detroit Lions and how important of a player he was to that team. I mean, one of the greatest Lions of all time. And the very first year that he left, won a Super Bowl. So that's tough for a fan base. You got to put yourself in those shoes. And I think that them winning that game for them, I mean, you kind of look at the storylines of the NFL, and I would say that, like, if we're talking from a non-Rams perspective, it's like, oh yeah, obviously the Lions win that game. But then you kind of dive into what was going into that game, and you hear Matthew Stafford running out to the booze, and he's all, yeah, come on, give it to me. You're like, I love that stuff so much, man. But I think that him losing that game, I think it really bothered him, and I think it still will be. And maybe he was thinking about maybe calling it if this last season ended a little bit different. But, you know, losing in Detroit, and the way it all happened, because let's not pretend like that wasn't a game that the Rams totally should have won. Like, I mean, credit to the Lions, of course, and I'm not trying to take anything back or discredit anything that the Lions did, but, I mean, a one-point game in that kind of situation kind of just feels like the Rams I feel like we play that game 10 times, the Rams probably win 8, if I had to put a number on it, and it just happened to be one of those was not that day. So that's unfortunate, but I'm actually kind of hoping that we get that kind of scenario again. The Detroit Lions are obviously a really good football team going into the 2024 season, and I think it would be incredible to get that matchup one more time. And let's just go ahead and go in and get Stafford that win now in Detroit, which, of course, the Rams will be in Detroit in the regular season, schedule pending, of course. We'll see when that comes out, but that's pretty good news, right? Back in Detroit again, I kind of feel like Matthew Stafford's just going to go off for like 750 yards in that game, probably, give or take. I will see what happens, all right? Let's go ahead and move on to the new additions. So I'm not going to go too deep into like what these guys' contracts are or anything like that. That information is readily available. What I'm looking at is the numbers that these guys are going to be rocking this year and who's worn those numbers in the past. Let's go ahead and start with Tre'Davious White. He's going to be rocking the number 27, which is what he's worn his entire time in the NFL. But 27, he's got some good history to it when it comes to the Rams. We have Pat Thomas, Irv Cross, Gary Green, Daryl Henderson, Quentin Michael, Trey Mason, Avion Kayson, and I know that Kayson didn't play like a whole bunch of football games and stuff like that, but he still was a name that jumped out to me, so I wanted to slap him in here as well, and Anthony Parker. So Trey Mason, we got Daryl Henderson, Quentin Michael, those are kind of more of the recent guys, but of course Gary Green had to be on this list, obviously. Pat Thomas, Irv Cross, some really good names. When you have a team that is historically relevant as the Rams, then obviously you have a really strong history with most of your uniform numbers. I mean, obviously, like the number 7, only the one time, but we have a deep history on a lot of these, like the number 3, which does have kind of a really cool history, in my opinion, just because of the guys that have worn it. So we know the Cam Akers did rock that number 3, although he is now gone, but he did, of course, rock that Super Bowl version of OBJ. That is something that stuck out to me. Number 3 scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl just a few years back against the Bengals. Absolutely incredible. We know how the story ended. We don't need to go into it, but obviously scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl in what was ultimately a close game. Gotta give our thumbs up here to OBJ, who is still a free agent, by the way. And I don't know if that means I'm trying to tell you that I think that the Rams should sign him, anything like that. I would love if OBJ came back. What I will say, though, is people saying that Cam Curl picking the number 3 means that OBJ isn't coming back to the Rams. Come on. What are you talking about? That's not a real thing. It's a jersey number. That's not like that's not real. OK, I don't think that OBJ is coming back. Let me put that out there and make that clear. But the like Cam Curl being number 3 is not a sign of that in either direction. Also, we have Josh Brown, made famous from Jackass, obviously, and also the way he was able to beat up on some footballs out there. And Frank Corral, or is it Coral? I was unaware, and I'm so sorry to anybody who's sitting there right now calling me an idiot. All right, and you know what? I'm not sorry to you. Why you gotta be mean about it? All right, I'm just trying to. I'm doing my best. next up is quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know that this is like a sore subject for people because I understand that a lot of people are having a hard time shedding the fact that Jimmy G has been a 49er in his past. But I just would like to put it out there that he's now a Ram. And I'm not going to root against the guy because he used to play for a team. He's here today, and today is ultimately the most important day, right? Today is the greatest day. Yesterday is already gone. There's nothing we can do about that. We can learn from those mistakes. We can still look at it, and we can still acknowledge it. We don't have to ignore the fact that it exists, but it is already gone. There's nothing that we can change about that. Tomorrow, hey, that's not even here yet. We don't need to worry about that right now, all right? Today is the only thing that matters, and today, Jimmy Garoppolo is a Los Angeles Ram, so he's got my full support. Rocking the number 11, which has a very hefty history for the Los Angeles Rams, Tavon Austin rocked that number. The Colts are still having nightmares about Tavon Austin, of course. Quarterback Jim Everett, man, one of the GOATs, one of the Rams GOATs in the number 11, of course, Pat Hayden as well. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had one of the greatest games that I've ever watched with the Rams, and that's kind of what Ryan Fitzpatrick does to you, right? He would give you one game. He did it to every team. He gave him one game where he did something unbelievable, and you thought, this guy might be the next big thing. He might be the guy to take us to the top. And then the next game, he did terrible. And I know that I know this very, very vividly because I remember when Jamie Martin got hurt against the Houston Texans, and Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in, bald face. Ryan Fitzpatrick. It was like, I barely know this guy. I've seen his name on the depth chart on ESPN.com and stuff like that, but I've never even seen this guy. He comes in, wins the game in overtime. It was absolutely unbelievable. I remember watching that game. It was so much fun. The very next week, I went to the Broncos game in Denver. And I want to say that was the game that they were playing the Ravens. And I was really locked in because I was like, I'm really watching Ed Reed and Ray Lewis play right now. This is amazing. But I kept watching up at the scoreboard, obviously, Rams fan. And noticed that Ryan Fitzpatrick had thrown 5 interceptions. So it was like, oh, you know, last week we thought he was the guy. He's clearly not. So that's cool. Some other 11s in the Rams history. We have Brandon Gibson, Josh Reynolds, Laurent Robinson. That's a few, a string of wide receivers who never really made that big of an impact, but we're also not here to down anybody. They were Rams, so they have our love for forever, right? Mark and Brett Rippon. Mark, of course, doing the better job of the Rippons in their time wearing number 11 for the Rams. Danny Villanueva. We have Norm Van Brocklin rocking the 11. Also, D-Will. Darius Williams in not in 1921, in 2021, which, if you remember, pretty sweet year. And speaking of, D-Will back in the Rams uniform, but this time he's still wearing a double digit here, not 11 though. He's cranking it up a notch. Multiply that bad boy by 3. We're rocking 33s for D-Will this year, which has been worn a few good times. Charles White in the 80s, Willie Ellison, late 60s, early 70s guy. Kenneth Darby, obviously. Nick Scott, Brick Scott coming in here with the 33 as well. Had one of the best days, one of the best hits One of my favorite hits, I should say, because best hit definitely goes to Rodney McLeod murdering Emmanuel Sanders. But as far as my time watching, by the way, that's all I can reference, okay? That's all I feel comfortable referencing. But Nick Scott bringing down the house on Debo, dude, that was absolutely awesome to see. One of my all-time favorites. That, it's like a pin now. Dudes make it into pins. That's absolutely awesome. I think the pins are getting a little out of hand, I gotta be honest. But they're awesome, all right? And the Nick Scott one, super, super cool. Cadillac Williams, I remember that signing. He came over with Jarius Norwood. I think we signed them very, very close together, Cadillac and Jarius. So not big impacts, but Cadillac. I was very pumped about that signing coming over from the Bucks. And the Missouri corner, EJ Gaines, also was wearing the number 33. Those are the big names that stuck out to me. New tight end, Colby Parkinson. He's made his way to Los Angeles from the Seattle Seahawks, and he's rocking the number 86, which gives me a chance to kind of flex how I can pronounce some of these names just mildly, which would be Brandon Manumaliuna, as well as Michael Humanawanui. And when I saw those two names pop up, I was like, yo, finally get a chance to pull these ones out again. Oh man, because Human, obviously super dope, Michael Humanawanui and Brandon Manumaliuna, two incredible guys. Obviously they had some moments with the Rams for sure. Kendall Blanton, another tight end, who honestly during the Rams Super Bowl run had just the most unbelievable stretch there. He's obviously not here anymore, but Kendall Blanton, man, the love is very abundant for a lot of guys just in that little stretch there that like we only needed for just such a short time. Like I package in Kendall Blanton in with like the Eric Weddles of the world, whereas like in that Super Bowl run, like do we do it without these guys? It was like a little bit of everybody, and Kendall Blanton, obviously with the injuries the Rams were seeing at the tight end position, came in clutch and did such an awesome job there. Going back into the past here, Marlon McKeever, very good 86, probably the best 86. Maybe I would have to kind of maybe refer to some of the Rams elders as far as that that goes. If you're one of those, let me know what you think. And Roland Williams won a Super Bowl wearing the 86 back when the Rams played the Titans. And a new addition also on along the offensive line is Jonah Jackson. He's going to be rocking number 72, which most recently worn by Tremaine Ankrum, who's now the enemy. He's now a Seattle Seahawk, so boo Tremaine Ankrum. But also Chris Long rocked the number 72. That was what he started wearing when he was first brought in. Where did he go to college? I was so confident that I was going to say his college too. And now I don't even remember, but that's okay. Chris Long, though, he did wear the 72. I remember when I met him back in 2010, Rams at Broncos. He was wearing the number 72 back then. I got him to sign my Sam Bradford jersey, and that got stolen. So if you see a Sam Bradford jersey, it's blue with the back. Chris Long's signature says 72 on it. I would like it back, or you can just have it. That's fine, too. I just want to know this in a good spot, you know? I just don't want it to be like in a closet somewhere, just like no, not getting any love. You know, if you are providing the love for said jersey, that is A-okay with me. But if not, just I'll like it back. I'll give it love. Okay. Also, Joe Barksdale. That was the last remaining Joe B that I can remember playing for the Rams. He was a right tackle. I did have some issues as far as the holding goes. I remember getting a little bit mad at Joey B over here. But hey, it's all good. Adam Goldberg, back in the day, offensive line. I don't want to say back in the day. If I don't know. It depends on how old. I'm 32. So back in the day, that was, you know, early 2000s. Adam Goldberg, definitely watching. I remember watching him. And also Zach Weigert rocking the 72. So if you have any other additions, feel free to drop those to me because I think that stuff is super cool to kind of figure out where, you know, who's wearing it now, but who has worn it, all right? I think that's important. I think it's awesome. I think it's cool to dive into the history of the uniform numbers and see who's been rocking what out here. We'll see what happens as well as any potential future retiring of numbers. No word on, of course, Roman Gabriel in that 18, if that's going to be something that we see. Who's in 18 now? Would it be Benny Sko? Is he still? I'm going to have to look it up. Like a chump. What am I doing right now? I'm about to kill time so I can look this up on the Rams app. Because Well, I'm a little out of practice here, man. Let's see. Scroll down. Yeah, Benny Sko, the Sko Plow, is rocking the 18 now. So, obviously, probably not in a position to do that at this moment. And then, of course, the number 99. If that's ever worn again, we got some problems. All right, we're gonna have to put out some stuff as fans. We got to, like, unite. If anybody comes in and is trying to rock a 99, even if it's just for preseason, we got to put a stop to that ASAP, all right? Because there's no reason a number 99, a double 9, should be appearing on another Rams uniform for as long as we live, okay? But let's move on here. I want to talk about Kobe Turner for just a quick moment because this guy is, I think, the next big thing for the Rams. I think the Rams 2023 draft class is going to be one that we look back on as like, oh my gosh, what an insane class. And Kobe Turner, I think, is a big part of that. And he was kind of, you know, into the depths of the draft as well. It's not like he was, you know, I mean, obviously he was like what the Rams, like, I think, third pick in the draft. But, I mean, without any ones, anything like that, I mean, Kobe Turner, man, this guy's absolutely incredible. And I mentioned it in just a quick tweet that, you know, because somebody said something about Aaron Donald's got to feel good about this. Or like it was a little The comment to me was, it's like almost a literal passing of the torch from Aaron Donald to Kobe Turner. And I think a big part of that comment was, of course, you know, the knife guy, Aaron Donald training with knives. That trainer was reached out to by Kobe Turner. After Kobe did not win Defensive Rookie of the Year, he hit up Aaron Donald, and a week later he was working with this same guy. Al Carter is his name. So it was a week later. He does have a nickname, but I'm not on nickname basis with Al Carter. Okay, so I'll just call him Al. For now, he doesn't know who I am. He has no idea who Sheriff Joe Bags is. So we're on regular name basis right now. Of course, we'll see what happens. Maybe someday I'm training with knives. Who knows, dude? I don't know. I can't predict the future. But Turner is now working out with Carter, which is, I mean, super, super sick to see. But there's just something that feels good about the transition to Kobe Turner right now. And I don't know, obviously, the inner workings of the brain of Aaron Donald. If I did, I'd probably be a lot more successful. But what I will say is that I don't think it's impossible that Aaron Donald maybe wanted to leave post-Super Bowl, but didn't want to leave the Rams a little high and dry. And Kobe Turner coming in, being such a monster that he is, maybe that had a little bit to do with the decision that Aaron Donald knew that, you know, leaving at this time, while still, no matter when he was going to leave a massive hole into the Rams as far as production wise, also in our hearts. All right, let's not pretend like we don't absolutely love Aaron Donald. It's like saying your favorite band's Metallica. It's like, yeah, obviously. It's like you're saying your favorite player. Yeah, it's like we all love Aaron Donald. He's amazing. He's the man. Like, I wish he was my dad. Like, you know what I mean? But either way, I think that it's possible that Kobe Turner coming in maybe made Aaron Donald feel a little bit better, that the hole that he is leaving can be slightly filled in by a Kobe Turner coming in who is an unbelievable player. And again, we're never going to replace Aaron Donald. Where everybody says, like, hey, maybe this is the next guy, you can fill in for that. He's gone, and that's never going to be filled fully. That's always going to be a piece missing of this defense. We were going to get worse when Aaron Donald left, no matter what, okay? But I think Kobe Turner and what he is able to bring, that does help. And I also don't want to just beat that drum this whole year or offseason even, okay? Aaron Donald, obviously, we all know what he did for this team and what he meant to this roster and everything. But I also just don't want to sit here and be like, well, we don't have Aaron Donald anymore. You know, I don't want to be that guy, all right? So what I kind of want to do is start looking into the future and stuff like that. Aaron Donald he's solidified his place in Rams history. He's there forever now, which is awesome. But we also don't need to keep having the conversation about what we're missing out on now that he's gone. Because I would like to respect the fact that he is chosen to retire, and now he is a former Ram. You know what I mean? So like, it's hard to say, and it's lame to say, and I don't even really like doing it. But I think it is time to start kind of flipping that page a little bit. And Kobe Turner, I think, is in a perfect position to really help us out here. But as we head into the draft, which is coming up, I mean, this is being recorded and hopefully published on Monday. and so what we're kind of looking at here now is The draft is coming up this week. The Rams do have a first-round pick for the first time in quite a while, but I think it's important that we take a quick peek at this previous class and what these guys have been able to do, kind of looking forward into the next year for some of these guys. So the Rams' first pick in the 2023 draft, Steve Avila. That is a correct pronunciation, okay? I've tried, okay? That is how you say his name, Avila, okay? But either way, he's moving to center, and I think that's a very strong move, and this is going to tell us exactly how talented this guy truly can be. Because if he makes that transition playing 1 year at guard, and then he slips into a center role and nails it, then we just know we have an absolute superstar. We have a stud on the offensive line, which is absolutely awesome to see. I didn't want to see him leave left guard, but with Jonah Jackson coming in and his ability to play center, which he did in college, I think Steve is in a really good spot to kind of just solidify himself along the front. The Rams are about to go baroque on this class, though. I mean, like, the Rams in 3 years now have a lot of dollars to pay a lot of guys, all right? So hopefully that can all work out. Byron Young, which is another one of those guys who did seem pretty raw for most of the year, but he kept on starting, kept on getting better. So now with a full season under his belt, let's see what he does in year two. I'm really excited to see what that jump from year one to year two for Byron Young really looks like. The Rams' first ever number zero, and I'm pumped to see it, to see what he does bring to this team. Also, we've seen like some videos come out as far as the workouts and stuff like that. I will say that Byron Young is looking not bigger, but a little bit more cut. So I don't know if maybe that was part of his offseason plan to maybe shed a little bit of I don't know what his plan was. Okay, but he is looking a little bit just a little bit more ripped this year. So all right, we'll see how that translates to the football field. Kobe Turner, a monster. He's not AD. No one is AD. But how sick is it to have Turner this young going into year two when AD does decide to call it a career? Whether that had anything to do with Aaron Donald's decision or not, I think we can kind of just ignore that fact, because whether it did or not is irrelevant. The fact is, though, that we have a year two Kobe Turner, the year that we don't have an Aaron Donald, and I think that is a very good, hopefully a good transition for Kobe Turner. Now that he doesn't have that 9-9 sitting next to him, how is he able to kind of formulate just his own personality into that defense? Next would be Stetson Bennett, Stet Benatar, Steady B, all right? So he is back with the team right now doing some offseason workouts. And we don't know still really any information on what his playing future looks like. But now with the Rams having Jimmy Garoppolo, look for Stet Benatar, to be a bit of a QB3 for the process. All right. I don't think that we see a Jimmy get cut and leave or get traded or anything like that, although I don't think that's impossible. I do think that if Stetson Bennett is in a position to be a backup quarterback for this Rams team, that we could see Jimmy G get traded early, especially if we see like another Aaron Rodgers situation like last year, somebody goes down really early. And I realize, again, I'll comment on it once again, that I know that everybody hates Jimmy Garoppolo because he used to be a 49er. But having a guy who has Super Bowl experience on your bench and has that many starts under his belt, not a bad thing, all right? And that will potentially lead to some really good offers if somebody does go down, because let's not pretend like that's not valuable, okay? Just because he played for the 49ers doesn't decrease that value. That value still exists whether your emotions are involved in that decision or not, all right? So the fact that is that Jimmy Garoppolo has plenty of starts under his belt, plenty of very, like, strong starts as far as, like, his true experience being in the playoffs and all that stuff, that his value is very much present. So if Stet Benatar can kind of wiggle his way into proving that he is going to be a reliable backup, I don't think that that's impossible that we see that. But, of course, I would anticipate that Jimmy will be here for this year and then go somewhere next offseason when his contract, when his one-year deal does expire, and we'll see what the future holds for Stetson Bennett. Nick Hampton started getting some time late. He was already showing some improvements, so I'd like to see that that continue. Warren McClendon came in and did fine when he was asked to, but does look right now like he is, at least for one more year, going to be a depth piece. That is a good depth piece, though, and he's versatile. So that works out if, you know, Jackson goes down on the left side, or maybe, you know, K-Dot or Havenstein on the right. McClendon is a guy that I wouldn't feel like totally inept, you know what I mean? Like I would feel at least decent about that guy coming in to play some football. And Davis Allen next up really started taking off last season. And the Rams almost have like this weird situation with tight ends, with Colby Parkinson, who I think is going to be a very strong addition to this Rams team. Tyler Higbee, who probably will not start the season with that ACL injury that he suffered in Detroit. And then, of course, Davis Allen. So the Rams are in a really good spot as far as tight ends go right now. And I think that we can very clearly identify the kind of tight end that Sean McVay wants. Because these guys are all the same guy. So, hey, that's good news, right? Puka, well, he's Puka. He's still Puka. So Puka's going to do Puka things. And Trey Tomlinson, he's got now one season down. We'll see how this offseason has treated the guy. I'm a really big fan of Trey Tomlinson, but he was clearly pretty raw last year. So we'll see what this preseason looks like. I mean, when I saw him in person, it was super unfortunate that his time in that Denver game got cut short because he got ejected pretty early for what was a pretty brutal hit, let's be real. He definitely pulled that guy down, but like, it was pretty rough, but it was not too far from me. It was aggressive. Ejection felt extreme, especially in a preseason game. But Trey Tomlinson, obviously those reps, getting any reps, very much helps. And, the way that, that was kind of going down, plus his injury, or not his injuries, his penalties, obviously we'd like to see that take a step down, because, positive reps are going to be very good for Trey Tomlinson going into the 24 season. O'Shawn Mathis, didn't really have too much of an impact. We'll kind of see how the preseason treats him. Zach Evans didn't get much of a chance this last year. I want to say he had 9 carries, 19 yards, if I'm not mistaken. That might be a couple numbers off. But you know what? That's also what happens when you have the current best running back in the NFL. Kyren Williams is an absolute monster. So yeah, Zach Evans isn't going to get that many reps because we have the best back in the league right now. And Ethan Evans hates footballs. One of these days, one of them is going to go into orbit. And I'm not sure what the rules are on that. I don't know what you do when a football goes into orbit, how you get it back. Is that out of bounds? What yard line does that go to? If it's, you know, hitting the ISS, I have no idea. But it's going to happen. Ethan Evans, that guy's leg is a rocket. Jason Taylor, he may find his way into a depth role as far as the addition of like Curl goes into the secondary for the Rams at the safety spot. So we could see him kind of get in there. Preseason is going to be very big for Jason Taylor to see where he's at. And Deswan Johnson, he did appear in 11 games last year, and he was kind of wiggling into his own later in the season. So he did end the year with 2 sacks, but I would expect him and Nick Hampton, as well as Michael Hoyt, to kind of be a rotational kind of situation. Pending, of course, any new edge rusher additions that the Rams could be bringing in, which brings us to the NFL draft, the 2024 NFL draft. This is the first time the Rams are picking in the first round since trading up to the number 1 overall pick in 2016 to draft Cal quarterback Jared Goff. This was the big one. First draft pick in LA, returning to Los Angeles, of course, from St. Louis, and number 1 overall pick and the most recent first round pick that the Rams have made for a guy who's played for a different team for multiple years. He's taken another team to the playoffs. But of course, the Jared Goff pick, it did work out. Post Fisher, it did work out. And Goff now 1 of 4 quarterbacks to play for the Rams in a Super Bowl. So he's definitely got a place in the Rams' history. And we can't forget that, of course. But he's played for another team for a few years now, like I said. So while it is nice to have a pick in the first round, my PSA here is to not fall in love with anybody. All right. The Rams are currently sitting at the 19th pick, and I think that's a very dangerous position for fans to be in, because I know how the Rams fans work. I've covered this. We're in season 9 of Rams Showcase. I know how, I have a general idea of how this fan base thinks. All right. I guarantee everybody's falling in love with somebody. And I'm saying that to you right now. You probably have a name in your head right now. You're like, yeah, I really hope they get this guy. Guess what? That guy's probably going to be gone. All right. Probably going to be gone. Rams probably not getting that guy. But what I will say, picking at number 19, I'm not sure that I'm convinced the Rams pick at 19. And I don't mean that I think the Rams are going to trade down. What I do think is that the Rams fans have all fallen in love with somebody. And that is irrelevant. What I also think is that the Rams brass, Les Snead, Sean McVay, these guys have fallen in love with somebody. And if that guy starts to fall, I think the Rams try to make a move.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
I'm not sure exactly where I would have them moving up to, simply because I don't know who this player is. But what if? What if it's a Marvin Harrison and the Rams jump up to 3, taking that New England pick? Because New England could definitely use some more picks. They have a lot of needs. The Rams, not so many needs. How many starters do the Rams need right now? 1 edge rusher? Every other position currently filled? Yeah, let's go ahead and boot out some of these picks. Let's move up and get a guy who can help us today. And Marvin Harrison, obviously, he would be joining a wide receiver room that is absolutely loaded, but that is my guy. Like, that is like the one guy. If I were to fall in love with a player, which I am telling you I kind of have, it's Marvin Harrison. That guy's incredible. Wherever he goes, he's going to have an impact. If it was to the Rams, that's badass. And then you put him with Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, you got D-Rob and Marvin Harrison, dude. I mean, shut it down, man. Also, it would be a sweet little, just a mini middle finger. Not a big one, just a mini middle finger if the Rams take Jerry Rice's son. I think that would be absolutely awesome. Of course, he's not going to be, you know, a 3 overall kind of guy. But I don't think that that's impossible if the Rams move up to a 3. I would say it's unlikely, but I don't think it's impossible. Realistically, I could see the Rams moving up to anywhere between that like 8 and 13 range. I think that they could be shooting there for possibly an edge rusher, but Peter Schrager, he's super tuned into everything, and he's saying it's almost a guarantee, almost, very critical word there, almost a guarantee that the Rams go offense. This is the first time Sean McVay, as the Rams head coach, has had a first-round pick. So I think it's very important to think about that aspect and see what he goes with, and let's not just try to get it right. We don't have to guess the pick right. We don't have to mock draft it and be like, see, I was right. Because what the hell does that do for anybody? It does no good for anybody, okay? Congratulations, you got it. You guessed right. That's cool. What does this guy actually do for the team, though, all right? And while we're looking at who the Rams do pick in the first round, I think it's going to be important to not only look at what this person is and capable of doing into this season, but what kind of player this guy is, all right? Because we've seen a lot of different surprise draft picks from the Rams, and it always seems like nobody, no matter how tuned in Rams podcasters, myself included, Rams writers, think that they're tuned in. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, all right? You can pretend. I can pretend all I want to that I know exactly, like, the Rams are visiting with this guy, so they'll probably want to get him, but he's not going to pass 12, so they need to move up, which means they should trade with, you know, this. Then none of that's real, all right? We've drafted guys we didn't meet with. We've met with guys a bunch of times and didn't take them when they were on the board, so that just ignore all that stuff right now, and just, can we just all just watch the draft and just enjoy ourselves? Why do we have to just know ahead of time every time? But picking at 19, obviously, we'll see what happens if they do sit at 19 or if they move back. There, we will get to fan quesos here in a bit. And there's one question that you guys are going to hate my answer to for sure. We'll talk about that here soon. but the Rams at 19, which was where they currently sit, have picked at 19 4 times. Most recently, though, 1984, that was linebacker George Andrews. Before that, 1968, Clendon Thomas, the defensive back. 1957, DB Corky Taylor, which is the most 1957 name I've ever heard in my life, Corky Taylor. And then in 1941, the Rams took tackle John McDowell at the number 19 pick. picking at 52, which is the Rams' following pick, of course. The Rams have picked there three times, twice in the modern era, as Cam Akers was selected with the 52nd pick. Of course, gone now. Decent pick, though. He did have his flashes for sure. In 2007, the Rams took running back Brian Leonard, and then before that, all the way back to 1942, Italo Rossi, the tackle. Really cool history there. I like that. There's like a couple of running backs, and then all the way back into the 40s get a tackle. Not a lot of picking at 52 for the Rams. And number 83, six picks at 83 all time. None with major impacts, though. We have the most recent being 2001 linebacker Brian Allen, not the Brian Allen that we just let go. 1996 running back Gerald Moore. 94 was running back James Bostic. 1951, we had Allen Egler. He never played. And 1947, Carl Samuelson. 1939, Frank Petrick. Yeah, we dig in pretty deep. The number 99, the 99th overall pick, which I really hope the Rams stick with because I feel like we could do some cool Aaron Donald stuff here. But of course, this is a special comp pick and a number that we should never see on a uniform again. So that's something. In 2010, the Rams' most recent pick at number 99, wide receiver Marty Gilliard. I remember this guy so vividly from his, his interviews leading into like training camp, where he had the dreads, and he was talking about that, this was 2010. This is not that long ago, but we were still like hazing back in 2010. And he had mentioned that he was like, I really just hope that they don't cut my hair. He's like, because each one of my dreads means something. It's like assigned to like people, he's like, each one means like something for a family member or this or that. And I thought that was really cool. And the team listened. They didn't cut off any of his dreads because that would have been terrible, dude. And then before that, back to 1979, Derwin Tucker, defensive back. 1974, quarterback Norris Weiss. And 1973, tight end Terry Nelson. 1969, defensive end John Zook. And we have 1963, defensive tackle Anton Peters. And in 1957, the Rams took center John Mitchell at 99 overall. Keep it rolling here in with number 154 pick overall. Most recently, defensive tackle Clifton Ryan. That was 2007. Before that, back to 1980, Mike Gooman. And then 1954, Sam Hensley. Very 1954 name. And then 1941, Kirk Hershey. Again, these names sound like they're from that era. It's absolutely awesome. I'm a big fan of that. The very next pick, the Rams pick at number 155. This is a pick via the Pittsburgh Steelers from the Allen Robinson trade. And the Rams have picked here five times. 1976 was the most recent time, though. Dwight Scales was picked at that spot. 1963, Billy Moody. 1950, John Lunney. 1943, Walt Rourke, and then 1940, Jack Nix. If I'm butchering any of these pronunciations, well, forgive me. And the 196th overall pick, the Rams have only picked here twice, most recently 2009, hopeful future Hall of Fame quarterback Keith Null, who I think is probably one of the greatest memes of Rams quarterbacking history. I've got Keith Null trading cards. I made like Keith Null graphics. I would 1000% rock a Keith Null jersey, and I don't know what that says about me or Keith Null, really. I mean, because it's not a shot. That's the thing, is I feel like people kind of think of that as like I'm like digging at Keith Null, like, hey, this guy sucks so bad, but look at how funny I am. That's not the case. I think Keith Null's awesome. I think he's like a pastor now. I would have to look that up again. But I was trying to get him to be Facebook friends with me. He wasn't having it, but either way, Keith Null, 09, that was the year I graduated high school, and the Rams took the best quarterback of all time. And before that, 1944, it was Bob McBride, the guard. That was the only two picks at 196 for the Rams. Let's get into a string of comp picks now, as that would have been the final pick for the Rams, but we lose some guys, and they reward us for it. Comp picks, don't really understand why they're a thing or how they're a thing or the process of all of it. I think you should just give everybody more picks. Why is it only 7 rounds and then we just load them up to be like a double round? Why is the 6th round have so many picks in it? Why don't we just add another round, guys? It's totally fine. Just give everybody more picks. What's the problem here? All right. Spread the love. All right. 209 as the Rams' next comp pick. Only 2 picks here. Most recently, 2012, linebacker Aaron Brown did not play any games for the Rams. And before that, 1993, I was 2 years old, defensive end Ma Tanuvasa. I'm pretty sure I nailed that. Maybe. Next up, 213, just a few picks later. The Rams haven't picked here since 1987. That was defensive back Michael Stewart. 1974, saw wide receiver Don Hutt. 1959, Dave Van Meter, and 1947, Lou Levante, and 1945, Leroy Erickson. I want to know if there's any of these, like, if I get to, like, the 50s and 60s, if there's any names that you truly recognize, because I wrote them all down, okay? All the picks are here, okay? So I want to know if you're like, oh, man, I remember that guy. I remember Leroy Erickson, because if you do, straight up, that's so sick. That is so cool. And I want to know about it. I want to hear your stories, all right? Next up would be 217. Rams up. Good amount of picks here. What is this? 7 picks? So we had 1966. 7 picks at 217 overall. And the most recent one, 1966. Before my parents were born. That's awesome. That was Mike Sullivan. 1964 was Phil Zera. 1960, Jim Boke, 1953, Lou Jones. Lou spelled L-E-W, by the way, is one of my favorite things. That is so cool and probably going to be the name of like an animal or something like that. If I get like a fish or maybe another plant, that's going to be my plants now. It's Joffrey. You'll see that when the videos return, which we will be doing here at some point. In the new apartment. This is the first podcast in the new apartment. Still getting set up here. I work too friggin' much. All right. And 1952, Bob Deese, a defensive tackle. 1951, that was guard Dick Doherty. And 1949, Ed Hamilton. And then, of course, the final pick for the Rams currently is 254. And most recently, the Rams picked there in 2010. That was linebacker Josh Hull. In 2003, the Rams picked tight end Richard Angulo. And then in 1971, it was center Don Popplewell. Incredible name, Don Popplewell. It stumbles off the tongue, but it is fun. It is fun to say. So there's that part of it. So we got fan quesos. Let's go ahead. You know what? We're not taking any breaks today. Let's just go ahead and roll. We'll just continue here. So let me first find them as I stall. Probably could have taken a break, but that's okay. I don't. It'll be fine. You guys doing okay? How's your day going? Are we excited about this draft right now, man? I'm getting pretty pumped about it. I'll be honest. I am very much on the side of actually. We're going to talk about that here in the case. So let's go ahead and get to those. I forgot when this was. Let's take a peek. Okay. Fan quesos. We're going to go ahead and start with Gary, because this is the one that I have referenced a few times that you're going to hate my answer. You're going to hate it. Gary, he says, okay, who is your target if we stay at 19? I don't care. And that's, I say that like lovingly, all right, Gary? And I don't say it's like a stupid question. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it like that. But what I will say is like whoever the Rams get, I'm going to just support them. So like, whatever. Also, the Rams have like, what, one starter need right now? Edge rusher? We don't even need to get that first. Like, that's okay if we go depth there, or if we just run a rotation, because maybe Shula will not do Raheem Morris things and put Michael Hoyt in coverage. So maybe we'll actually have an edge rusher there, because Michael Hoyt turns out is a good pass rusher. So if we just pull him out of coverage, do we even need an edge rusher? Like, I mean, these are questions we got to ask ourselves, right? We could also use a kicker, but at 19, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'll be honest, I wouldn't even be that mad about it, because, well, last year was quite the journey. And you probably win in Detroit. I mean, there's at least a few more situations throughout the season that are a lot more cool if we just have a solid kicker. But again, probably win in Detroit if we feel confident that we can hit some kicks there. So I don't care who the Rams get at 19. I feel decently confident saying that the Rams won't pick at 19. And I, even on the Rams pick'em thing, which if you are not doing that, you have to, because you can accidentally win Rams tickets like I did. So last year I was playing, I don't even remember which week it was. But I just opened the app and it was like, I said rank one. And I was like, oh, that's probably a mistake. Right. And I clicked on it. And I won tickets. So they said, once the schedule comes out, they'll reach out to me. And I get to pick a game. So, just do it. Cause the worst that can happen is you just lose and nothing. They don't call you, or like, they don't tell you, like, they don't black out the game in your house or something. They don't like delete the app off your phone or like take your jerseys away. You just don't, nothing happens. They don't call you and call you a loser. Like, you don't get Sean McVay being like, hey, I just want to let you know you suck. That doesn't happen. So just play, and you know, cool things might happen. So either way, if the Rams stay at 19, I am very indifferent, because I think the Rams could go depth offensive line here. I think the Rams could go wide receiver. I think the Rams could go tight end. I don't think the Rams go quarterback in the first round. I'd be very surprised at that. I don't think the Rams go running back in the first round. I'd be very surprised by that. I don't know, unless there's like maybe a corner that the Rams are digging, a secondary piece that the Rams are digging, maybe even a linebacker somewhere that the Rams are digging. I don't think that the Rams will be targeting player specific. I think that, unless they move up, of course, but I think the Rams are just going to go with whoever's the highest on their own board. And you know what, whoever that is, I'm down with, man. I realize too, that that's like such like a, I don't want to say a cop out answer, but like, I don't care. Like, I truly don't care. I don't care about your mock drafts. And I'm not saying you, Gary, specifically. I mean, I do mean you. I don't care about your mock drafts. But I mean, also in general, I don't care about your mock drafts. Like, I don't care who you think that the Rams are going to take or whatever. Like, because it's probably wrong, right? And then we'll just, are we going to hate the guy that we get? Like, I realize some shows do that, but are we going to hate the guy that we get because it wasn't who we wanted them to pick? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It gets really into the weeds of, like, where does our opinions matter, which is pretty minimal. Like, if we're being real, because, again, like I see too many times where, either a YouTube channel or a podcast or some kind of website, something like that, will be locked in, too locked in on one player. And when they don't come to the Rams, and they're like, well, this class sucks, we're not good anymore. I heard, like, I'm not a receipt guy, but we could dig into the people who were mad about the Steve Avila pick last year, or the Puka Nacua pick last year, or the Byron Young pick last year. You know, people who are genuinely mad about this, and were like, well, I guess the Rams just don't want to win football games. How about maybe they know more than us? Like, how about they actually had the meetings and conversations with these guys, and we are just watching, drinking beers? So that's your answer, Gary. I don't care. Next up, Dylan. Dylan says, why are the Eagles the scariest team in the NFC now? It's hilarious. I they're not, Dylan. So I don't know. And especially you lose Jason Kelce. I think at the Eagles fans, because that's what Dylan is now. Not now. He has always been an Eagles fan. But I would say losing Jason Kelce is more of a hit than people are ready to admit right now. And I think that last year we started to see the holes in Nick Sirianni's abilities. And I think that that continues. So I wouldn't even consider the Eagles that scary of a team. I would say Dallas is fine. Like, they're going to be middle of the road. You got Washington, who I think is going to be very much improved this season than last year. Especially if they can nail down the quarterback spot. I think Jaden Daniels at two makes all the sense in the world, and I think it gives them the best chance to actually be able, to try to pull off some competing there. The Giants, who really knows about the Giants, probably not that good. So the Eagles still in a position to like win that division, but I don't think they're a true Super Bowl threat in the NFC. When you do look at teams like the Niners, whatever, I hate saying that, but then you also got the Los Angeles Rams, who, let's not pretend, are any kind of pushover, just because, you know, I think everybody's still in like 2022 brain, where they're like, well, they were down. So it's like, yeah, but last year we're one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs. Met another really hot NFC team in the Detroit Lions, who I think are better than the Eagles already. You got the Green Bay Packers, who I'd pick above the Eagles as well already. So, yeah, man. No, Why are they? They're not. So that's the problem. Next one here come from Nick. Nick, dude, hopping in. Hell yeah, man. I like that. It says, do you think Bobby Brown is a starting defensive tackle on a championship contender? Should we start Brown and Kobe in on the inside and build edge through the draft? So building through the draft is obviously something that you are always able to do, but also I think it's important that we kind of address the fact that the draft is the last addition avenue in an off season. Like, obviously you get like UDFAs, you know, post-draft free agents are still out there and stuff like that. But free agency is like really where you build your team, and draft is where you fill in the gaps. That's kind of how I've always viewed the draft. That's why I'm not big draft guy. I don't get super crazy about the draft. I'm way more interested in the other stuff, in like proven players and stuff like that, because like you get the Jamarcus Russells and the RG3s and stuff like that. Like, guys who, like, the hype is there, maybe they do okay for a certain amount of time, and then they kind of just fall off a cliff and they suck, you know? So, or you get like a Puka, like, or a Cooper Kupp in these like mid late rounds, and they're unbelievable. You know what I mean? So, I don't get, too into that part. And also, like I said, it's the last place to add to your team. You should have, entering the draft, you should be in a spot where you're only filling in the gaps, which right now edge rusher is a gap that the Rams have. So I do think that is something that the Rams will be addressing. But as far as Bobby Brown goes, I think that the departure of AD and having Kobe Turner here means that we will, of course, already by default see more Bobby Brown than we have been seeing. But I would say this is probably our final year with Bobby Brown, if I had to guess. Just a guess. I like Bobby Brown a lot. I'm an Aggies fan. Gig him. So, like, it'd be cool to see him stick around. Lost my other Aggie, Josh Reynolds, so would be pumped about it. Maybe we'll get another one this year, just saying. But Bobby Brown, I think, is definitely talented enough to play his role in a championship defense. But I do think that having them kind of rotate a decent amount, I don't want to say a lot, it's not going to be like a 50-50 rotation. Kobe Turner should, he deserves to get the bulk of that. But I do think we'll see a decent amount of Bobby Brown, man. And based on what we were starting to see last year of the progression of Bobby Brown, I think that people might be a little bit surprised, man. Because Bobby is one of those guys that, like, I pay a lot of attention to, but I feel like a lot of people just kind of like, he just exists in the world for Rams fans. So I would say that I think that that Bobby Brown is in a position where he's going to impress a lot of Rams fans this year specifically. So I like that question though, man. And then let's see here. Let's go over here. We have Cody says, thoughts on Chris Shula being promoted. Love the move, honestly. I think that Chris Shula is a solid addition to the Rams as far as like becoming the defensive coordinator. He has been around for a little bit of time now, so the guys know him. He knows the guys. He knows what we're trying to accomplish and really where the Rams defense sits right now. He didn't have to come in and learn that. He's been around, which I really like. And then being able to work still closely with Ernest Jones, because he's coming from obviously coaching the linebackers. Ernest Jones being our green dot captain, it's his defense now. Now that AD is gone, I think that is going to be a really good combo. That's like our defensive McVay and Stafford is now going to be Shula and Jones, and I like that, actually. I like that a lot. So I'm pumped about what Chris Shula does. I'm excited to see what kind of twist that he takes on the Raheem Morris defense, because obviously he's that tree, you know what I mean? So to see what he takes from that defense and what he improves on, because we saw a lot of times, obviously, a really soft defense for the Rams, which is ultimately what I credit. And I realize, like, too, like, because I know I'm minority when talking about Raheem Morris. I like Raheem Morris, the guy, all right, but he was too soft as a coach for me as far as schematically goes. Too many times we saw that, and that's what lost us the game in Detroit, is Quentin Lake being way too far off on a, what, third and, like, 14 situation? You didn't have to be that far off and just give up a curl route to end the game. Like, so that kind of stuff is just frustrating, man. It's like, go win it. Don't play to not lose. Go play to win. Go win the game, man. Go attack. And that always frustrated me. So I'm hoping that Shula kind of steers a little bit around that stuff, and then like those little things too, like not dropping Michael Hoyt into coverage, and, you know, maybe utilizing Kobe Durant differently, because I don't really love the way that we asked him to be Jalen Ramsey. He's not Jalen Ramsey. So I think to try to put him in a role where he was supposed to be that guy, I think we put ourselves behind the eight ball there. So you have Kobe Durant not as good as Jalen Ramsey, and I like Durant. All right, I like him a lot, but he's not Jalen Ramsey. So asking him to do the same stuff, already irresponsible. Asking Michael Hoyt to cover like Davante Adams and DK Metcalf, and I realize he got a PD on DK, stuff like that, but it's irresponsible is really what it is, right? You got to be calling timeouts in some of those situations. There is no reason Michael Hoyt should ever be going lined up against Davante Adams. That's a timeout situation. Like, don't let that happen, dude. Like, what are we doing out here? But also, you got to put some of that onto the players as well, and not adjusting to that. Like, that could have easily been an Ernest Jones kind of doing an assignment thing there too. So there's a lot of moving pieces to that, obviously. But that kind of stuff, it, like blatant mistakes and clear cut, like, oh, that's a mismatch. But pre-snap mismatches, we got to try to just minimize those. And we saw a lot of that last year. Next few here coming from Payo Time. Which, if you guys are not up on Payo Time, get your lives together. Dude's awesome. One of the better humans that I know. Just a genuine dude. Check out his channel for sure. Payo Time. Could Aaron Donald pull a Weddle next year if the Rams make the playoffs? I feel pretty confident saying that this is never going to happen. I realized that was like a big conversation with a lot of Rams fans immediately. We're like, well, if we're good, though, maybe he'll come back. I don't know. I don't know if Aaron Donald will feel comfortable doing that. And again, I don't know. I mean, I'm speculating here. But I feel very confident saying that Aaron Donald's not going to play football again. Based on the interviews that we've seen, you know, him hopping on with Chris Long, him having that conversation that he was with his wife. I don't think so. I'm pumped for Aaron Donald, whatever he's got next. I appreciate what he's done for the Rams, but I don't know. I think it's I'm excited to still be a fan of him. I think that's kind of what I'm trying to say here, post football. And I do think it's post football. I do think he's going to get into like doing movies. Excuse me. I do think he's going to get like into doing movies or something like that. He could be a huge action star if he wants to be. He's already like built like an action star, so. But to answer your question bluntly, man, I don't think so. I don't think that Aaron Donald's going to play football again. I think that he's done. I think that if anybody was going to be done, it was Aaron Donald. Like, Eric Weddle played until like the wheels fell off, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, he was playing pretty deep in his career. And I think that he was just one of those guys that was like, he was ready for a phone call at any moment. Aaron Donald, I don't think is going to be that same guy. Next up here from Payo. If you had to pick four current Rams players to play a charity mini putt game broadcast on the Rams YouTube channel, which four would you pick based on entertainment and skill? Well, as far as skill goes, dude, I have zero clue who would be the best at mini golf. I'm not that well versed into my Rams fandom to know who's, you know, hitting under par at the adventure games or whatever, you know. But as far as I would go fully entertainment value for this. So obviously Kobe Durant has to be there. He is the most entertaining Ram ever since Dante Dion left. Kobe Durant is the most entertaining Ram. The Landshark is the man. After that, I'm going to go with Puka Nacua because dude's just one of the best humans of all time. He's a top tier human, top tier football player, work ethic of out crazy, all right, to like the Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford level, which you don't really get very often, which is cool. Then we'll go Kobe Turner, man. We'll go with both Kobe's on the defense. Because Kobe Turner, I say it all the time, I tweet it all the time. Kobe Turner is a top tier human, one of the best people that I've never met. He signed my flag in Denver last year in the preseason game, but like, obviously that wasn't me like meeting him. I didn't get to like have a conversation with him or anything, but, yeah, so I'd go Kobe Turner, unbelievable. He'd probably crush everybody too, man, but I don't know. Puka's pretty, he's pretty competitive in there. So, and then, You know what? We don't get enough love for Ethan Evans, I think, anywhere in any avenue of the Rams right now. I think that we were really spoiled by Johnny Hecker for a really long time. But I think it's important to realize that Ethan Evans is quite the man. And again, the dude's going to put a football into orbit one day. And I'm just curious to see how the NFL rules adjust for that. He kicks like he hates footballs. Like, he's like, get this thing out of here, you know, which is, it's awesome. So maybe he would do that on the golf course or the mini golf. And maybe it would be bad, but entertainment value, again, top tier. And last one here, coming from Payo Time. Why does being a Rams fan make you a better human? What a question, dude. That is so specific. I love it. That's a good one, man. So I used to say, back when the Rams were terrible, I used to say that the Rams make me a better human because you can tell I'm patient. You can tell I'm loyal. I won't just leave when things get hard. There's a bunch of loyalty involved in it, for sure. We know swag to the max. So that's what makes you a better human for sure. These colors, dude, they're so sick. I would say I know a lot of fan bases, and I do like respect some of them. I'm not gonna talk bad on any fan base right now, but I will say that there are some, and I'm not gonna name them, that like you're like, damn, I'm like so glad I'm not one of you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I will name one, Broncos fans. I'm in Colorado, so I feel comfortable saying that. So, like, one of the reasons I am a Rams fan is because I didn't want to be a Broncos fan. And in fairness, I think that my opinions on Broncos fans are very, very my family specific, because my family is insane when it comes to sports, which is, I mean, kind of how I've gotten to where I'm at now. But like, if you weren't a Broncos fan, then like they hated you. And like, for me, as long as you're a fan of the game, we're cool. You know what I mean? So like, me showing up and seeing like a 49ers fan somewhere, I'll talk to them. I will have a conversation, be like, oh, what's up, man? Like, what's going on? You guys did this or whatever. Or like, hey, who do you think would be a problem today that we don't think about? Or, yeah, I'm just having conversations out here. But like, for my family, I will say this. One of the last times I saw my grandma, a big Broncos fan, it was the day before. It was 2018, the day before Rams Broncos played in the snow. Todd Gurley went off that day, over 200 yards. It was an awesome game. But most rushing yards in a single game in his career, just saying, I was there. It was awesome. But my grandma would not take a photo with me because I was wearing Rams gear, and the Rams and Broncos played the next day. And that was just the way it was. I mean, my grandma is one of my favorite people of all time. We've talked about her here before. I do have a bunch of her Broncos stuff, her signed like Jason Elam picture, signed Carl Mecklenburg photo. Like, I've got some good stuff from my grandma, but either way, she didn't want to take a picture with me. And so I did anyway, because I was like, all right, shut up, grandma. Like, that's how we interact. But don't think I'm just a huge jerk to my grandma. She would have wanted that. She liked it that way, okay? take a picture with her anyway. She's got like this like super sassy look on her face. And that's just so funny to me. It's one of my favorite pictures with my grandma, outside of my very last one, which we don't need to talk about. But yeah, man, that was it's super fun. But that's part of it, as just being in a fan base, in the Rams fan base, that I just think is very open and accepting and just fun, man. Like, I feel like we're in it for like the Rams fan base is in it for the love of the game. And I think that some are in it for like the hate of the game. Like, Eagles fans are in it for the hate of the game. They want to hate you. They want to, you know, hurt your feelings. They want to make you upset when you go to their stadiums like that. And like, the Rams, I just don't feel like are like that. The Rams fan base, I think, is very cool in the sense. And maybe it's because we were so bad for so long that we're just like, yeah, it's cool, man. Like, for a long time, we couldn't talk trash. We won, you know, 6 games in 3 years for a little bit. How are we supposed to talk trash to anybody? You know what I mean? So I think that kind of stuff goes into it. But ultimately, man, I think the Rams are just a fun team to be a fan of, especially right now. And that's, if that makes you a better human, I guess that's part of it. But to be, you know, a flashy team with a sweet stadium and incredible uniforms. And whether you like them or not, I do. So whatever. I mean, you cannot like them. That's okay. I'm not telling you that you're wrong. Opinions can't be wrong. Inherently, they can't be wrong. It's true to you, right? So it's true. I like them a lot, though. I think that they're fun. I think that the colors are incredible. Stadium, obviously incredible. I'll be out there a couple times this year. I'm hoping to get out to New York as well for the Jets game. So if you're going out to that, hit me up. And then, yeah, man, I don't know. I would say ultimately, man, I think the people that I've met through being a Rams fan specifically, you included, Peo, I think is invaluable. So doing the podcast and being a fan, doing the podcast and, you know, which kind of this kind of takes me back a little bit to the fact that I even have a squad out here to watch Rams games with was because I became an admin of a Facebook, a Rams Facebook page. And I want to say it was called Rams Fans Forever. Robert ran that group, and when I was going to a preseason game in Denver, I took a photo of the stadium as I was driving up I-25, and a bunch of people were like, oh, I'm going to be there too. And I ended up meeting a bunch of Rams fans, and one of those being my buddy Aaron, who I still watch games with today, every single Sunday, man. We're always together. He is definitely the homie, and yeah, it's like I've met some lifelong friends just by, you know, being a Facebook page admin, and then doing the podcast. I've met so many unbelievable people, too many to name right now, because I'm already way over, I'm already over an hour into this podcast. I'm not going to go through it right now, but I think everybody would know who I'm talking about. And if you're hearing me right now, you know what, you're on that list, because to be in season 9 and still have an audience to discuss the Rams with, I think obviously that says all it can, right? Podcasts typically die, and Rams Showcase didn't, and I have the Rams fans to thank for that. So appreciate everybody, man. It's been a fun time, fun journey for sure. So that is our fan quesos. If you would like to have your fan quesos answered, of course, you can always drop those to me. We are about that time. It's April time. We're going to start picking it up here a little bit. I had a bit of a chaos time as I was, you know, I do work two jobs. I do 70-hour weeks, so it's very snug to try to get some shows done right now. And then, of course, I was doing, some outside classes, got like my motorcycle, got like my motorcycle endorsement and stuff like that. So, been just busy, but this is April time into the draft time. So this is about where we're going to start picking up. So keep it locked in on Ram Showcase as we, continue on with season 9. Again, can't thank you guys enough for hanging out with me. It's absolutely awesome. And, love what I've been able to build here. So, we will have some guest appearances on ramshowcase.com, so keep your eyes open for that. I do got to reach out to some people to get that stuff in order, of course. But yes, we are getting into the thick of it now. So enjoy the draft. My only advice is, you know what? Again, don't fall in love with any one person. It's going to be fine. We're going to come out of it okay, because last year, like I said, we had too many people that were angry at the Steve Avila pick, angry at the Puka Nacua pick, and well, it worked out. So how about we let him play first before we judge him too harshly, huh? I think that would be at least a good start. So that is it for me at Sheriff Joe Bags at Ram Showcase. That's where you can follow on all your favorite social media, ramshowcase.com. Looking to get some more updates going there as well. If you want to guest on ramshowcase.com, you got some things you want to get off your head, get out of your mind, hit me up that way, and we can get you a place to vent out your Rams thoughts, a blog of sorts for you. Also, do have another podcast that is headed your way soon. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to unfold, but it was going to be fan-oriented. So once the debut episode comes out, of course, we'll have some more information for you there. But this is going to be a separate podcast from Ram Showcase. So details on the way on that. But other than that, I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio and the Fan-Sided Network. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening. And go Rams.